They told me this was a 10-minute bottle of water. I'm glad I drank a quart before I came. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. If you turn over to the book of John tonight, the book of John, we'll read one verse, chapter 1 and verse 29. The book of John, chapter 1 and verse 29. Now it says there, the next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Amen. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Now, I tell you what, there's a lot of names here in this first chapter of John. We find that he's called the Word. He's called God. He's called the Creator. He's called the Life. Amen. He's called the Light. Amen. He's called the Only Begotten of the Father. Amen. He's called the Baptizer with the Holy Ghost. Amen. He's called the Son of God. He is called the Master. He's called the Christ. He's called Jesus of Nazareth. He's called the King of Israel, but the most important one, the most precious one in all of this chapter to me is the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Amen. Listen, if it wasn't for the Lamb, if it wasn't for that sacrifice, I'd have no hope. You'd have no hope. Hey, hell would have us. Hey, we'd be going to hell. We'd be damned forever. Amen. But no, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. I showed up one day, amen, and he went to an old rugged cross, and he gave himself for me and you. Amen. Thank God for the Lamb. Thank God for the Lamb. I tell you, a lamb is a gentle creature. I mean, you can do anything you want to with a lamb. I mean, nobody's afraid of a lamb. Even a little child's not afraid of a lamb. You can go up to a lamb and you can do anything you want to with a lamb. Amen. Why, you could go up to a lamb and you could slap a lamb, and that lamb wouldn't do anything. Amen. You could go up to a lamb and you could pull its hair out, its wool out. Amen. Oh, that lamb wouldn't do anything. Amen. You could go up. You could just do anything you wanted to with a lamb. Amen. Or you could take a cat of nine tails and you could beat that lamb. A lamb's got no defense. Amen. A lamb can't protect itself. Amen. Hey, he came as a lamb. He came as a lamb. Amen. Hey, you can do anything you want to with the lamb. You can't approach a lamb. I tell you what I did one day. I took advantage of the lamb. Amen. Amen. I nailed him to a cross. Amen. I slapped his face. I spit upon him. Amen. I nailed him to the cross. Amen. It was my sins. Amen. Hey, I went to the lamb. I approached the lamb one day. I took advantage of the lamb. Amen. I put my sins on him. Amen. Yeah, thank God. Thank God for the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Amen. I tell you what you need to do. You need to take advantage of the Lamb. While all through the Bible, amen, we see in people taking advantage of the Lamb. Adam needed a Lamb. Amen. I know this, that Adam fell, and we know the story, but at the end of that thing, there were some animals that had to die. Amen. It doesn't say what they were, but I just kind of believe those were lamb skins that they had on. Amen. I believe there was a lamb that died for them. Amen. Listen, a whole creation needs a lamb. Thank God that the lamb came, amen, to take our sins away. Thank God there as far as the east is from the west. Thank God they're in the sea of God's forgetfulness. Thank God I took advantage of the Lamb. Amen. Abel took advantage of the Lamb. He gave an offering of blood. Amen. Listen, I'm telling you, whatever you do, you say, well, I've tithed, I'm a church member, I've gave to this and I've gave to that. If you're not saved, it doesn't go on your account. No offering is accepted by God unless there's some blood on it. Lamb His blood, amen. It takes lamb's blood to make the offerings acceptable. You're not going to go to heaven without the lamb. Amen. What are you saying? You need a lamb? You need a lamb, amen. Amen. Why, Cain, God told him he needed a lamb. He said, sin lies at the door. Amen. What do you think was lying at the door? I think there was a lamb lying at the door. Amen. He said, Cain, that's what you need. Amen. You need to take that lamb. Amen. Hey, you need to take that lamb and you need to go out and slay it. Amen. You need to give me its blood. Amen. And in it, that would take care of it all if you do that. But he said, no, I've got religion. And that's the way us Baptists are. We got religion. Some of you come and shout this week. That don't mean you're saved. Some of you come to the altar this week. That don't mean you're saved. There has to be a day and time that you took advantage of the Lamb if you're going to be saved. Amen. No, you're gonna go by your own works and all the money you gave and whatever else you did. And you're saying, I'm getting into heaven because I've been so good. Well, I've got news for you. We're all wicked. Amen. We all deserve hell. But there's none good. No, not one. Amen. And we all need a lamb. Amen. We need to take advantage of him. Amen. Amen. Abraham and Isaac, they took advantage of the lamb. Abraham, the Lord said, 3 days' journey. Go take your son. Kill him on Mount Moriah. Offer him as a burnt offering. Amen. Isaac said, well, here's the wood, here's the fire. Where's the lamb? Where's the lamb? Where's the lamb? Amen. The lamb was on its way. Amen. Where's the lamb? The lamb's on his way. Amen. Just as they was going up one side of the mountain, the lamb was coming up the other side. Amen. They couldn't see him yet, but he was on his way. Amen. Listen, I ain't never seen him, but I got news for you. He's on his way. Amen. Amen. He's been here and he's coming back again. Amen. They sung about it tonight. Amen. Hey, the lamb's coming back. Amen. They got up there and Abraham drew back the knife. We all know the story. If you ever heard Brother Earl preach it. Said he only had to say once to go take his son. He had to tell him twice, stop. Would be to God that he had to tell us twice to stop. We're looking for a reason to stop, amen. We're looking for a reason to quit, amen. Instead of taking advantage of the lamb and getting our strength from the lamb's blood, amen. We're looking for a reason to quit. We're looking for a reason not to go to church, amen. We're looking for a reason to give up, amen. Amen. Why? Jacob's lamb was Joseph. Amen. Jacob thought he was slain. They threw him in a pit. They sold him into slavery. Amen. Moses' law required a lamb. When they left out of Israel, amen, they needed a lamb. Amen. He said, go choose you out a lamb without blemish, without spot. Keep it 4 days. Amen. And then kill it. And put the blood on the lintel and on the doorpost. Amen. And I know we sing, when I see the blood up. But he said, this is what the Bible says. When I see the door, I will pass over you. Amen. He is the door. Amen. That lamb. Amen. He's called the door also. Amen. When he sees the door. Amen. When he sees the door. Amen. And it was the door's blood. Amen. The lamb's blood that was on the sides and on the lintel. Amen. Hey, can he see the door in you? Amen. Have you opened the door? Amen. Have you got the Lamb of God? Amen. Okay. Amen. We need to take advantage of the Lamb. Well, why do we need to take advantage of the Lamb, preacher? Well, because sin will destroy you. See, it doesn't matter whether you're lost or you're saved tonight. You still need to take advantage of the Lamb. See, I still sin. Amen. I'm not perfect. Amen. Amen. Oh, hey, you say, well, sometimes I sin and I know I'm sinning. Amen. But what do you do when you find your place, when you find yourself in that situation? You run to the Lamb, amen. You will take advantage of the Lamb, amen. You put your sins at His feet, amen. Why, if you don't, they'll destroy you. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It says in Romans 5:12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Amen. We're all sinners. Amen. It says, in you being dead in your sins and uncircumcised your flesh hath He quickened together, having forgiven you all your trespasses. Amen. Sin will destroy you. You say, see, today we got this thing going around that if you're saved, you can sin and get away with it. You're crazy. Being saved, amen, does, hey, you know what you're doing, amen? You're just heaping more upon the Christ, the Savior, amen. If you're truly saved, amen, you ought not to want to sin. You ought to have something inside of you. I don't know about you, but He lives in me, amen. Amen. Well, the day I got saved, things got different. I can't enjoy sin like I used to, amen. Hey, when I get involved in that thing, hey, there's conviction that comes upon my soul, amen. I feel like a worm. I feel like a dirty dog, amen. I know there's something wrong. I know I'm not doing right. I can't enjoy it, amen. How come you can? I done prayed once and all my sins forgiven. I'll just go out and sin all I want, amen. My, that's what they're teaching. Right. Amen. Sin will destroy you. Over there in 1 Corinthians, they said, put him out from among you. Give him to Satan that his flesh might be destroyed. Why? He wouldn't get right. We don't see that happen much anymore. You know why our church is in such a turmoil? Because when you don't separate him from the body, he deals with the whole body. If you have a diseased member of your body and the doctor wants to take it out and you refuse to let him take it out, then he has no option but to treat the entire body. Amen. Sin will separate you from your church. It'll separate you from your families. Amen. Amen. It'll separate you from God, the will of God, the fellowship of God. Amen. Sin will destroy you, amen. But sin's not exceedingly sinful anymore. Why, we don't even blush anymore. Amen. You can see somebody walking down the road half naked. You don't even blush. You don't even turn your head anymore, amen. Hey, we don't care anymore. We've seen so much on the boob tube and the TV, amen. Hey, I heard an old preacher preach once about the forehead of a whore. He said one thing about a forehead of a whore, you'll never see her blush. That's about the way we are anymore, amen. There's some things that ought to make our turn our face red, amen. We ought to turn our eyes from it, amen. It ought to make us. Why are we like sin so much? Why do I like sin so much? Because I'm not close enough to the Lamb, amen. Amen. I think we could all afford to move closer this week. Amen. We need to take advantage of the Lamb. When you sin, 1 John 1:9, you need to take advantage of the Lamb. Then, number two, you need to take advantage of the Lamb because Satan will overpower you. He's not in a little red suit with little horns and a pitchfork. He's beautiful. He's alluring. He's an enticer. He knows how to get your attention. He knows our weaknesses. He is a stalker. He's likened to a roaring lion, a serpent, a dragon. Amen? That's him. Amen. Hey, it says in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. That word devour, they say a snake devours. See, a snake doesn't kill its victim. It just swallows it whole. Some of you
Satan's got a hold of you. He's devouring you. He's numbed you with the poison of sin. And now he's beginning to eat you, devour you. And you don't even know what's happening. Wow, you need a good shot of KJV 1611. Amen. It's a snake killer. Amen. It's a venom stopper. Amen. It'll make Satan puke you up. Amen. You need some KJV. You need some Bible. You need to get on your knees in prayer. In Luke chapter 22 and verse 31, it said, the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Oh, he'd love to have some of you. Maybe he's already got some of you in the sifter. I mean, he's already sifted out Sunday night and Wednesday night. We're here every Sunday morning. It won't be that way long. A little bit more sifting. See, I remember when you had the sift flour. I remember those sifters, amen. I seen my mama use it, amen. And listen, she'd put that everything that was good come out the bottom. And everything that was left was thrown away, amen. What he's trying to do is sift everything that's good out of you, amen. Hey, you'll start dressing like the world. You'll start talking like the world, amen. You'll start watching more TV, amen. You quit reading your Bible. You quit praying. Amen. Hey, he's sifting, 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 sifting. Amen. Pretty soon there won't be anything good left in you. Amen. You'll just be one of Satan's zombies. Amen. I've seen him. They sit in church like this. Ain't got nothing. Amen. They don't even know when to shout. You can tell them they shout the wrong place. Or somebody beside them will punch them. Like, wait a minute. Zombies. Zombies for the Lord. Amen. Zombies for the devil. You know what you do? What kind of witness are you? No, you can talk about sports. You can talk about all everything that's on MySpace. Internet. Hey man, you know all about that stuff. Don't you? Hey man. Oh, you know. Oh, maybe it's politics with you. I'm done convinced it don't matter who. Hey man, the Lord's setting it up. The Antichrist is going to rise. We're going to leave pretty soon. I don't care. Amen. I'm more concerned what this book says, amen. Yes, I want our country to do well. Yes, I want us. But I'm telling you, according to my Bible, it's going to wax worse and worse. I'm not surprised about it. I'm not worrying a whole lot about it because I've got a promise, amen. I'm leaving here, amen. I'm a little bit more concerned about seeing people saved and how they vote. Or whether they're a Democrat or a Republican, amen. I'd like to see him be a saved Democrat or a saved Republican, man, or a saved liberal, amen. Just get him saved, then let God deal with him, amen. Amen. Hey, Satan, love to have you. He'd overpower you. You're no match for him. That 1 Corinthians 5:5, deliver such a one unto Satan for his destruction. Listen, even Paul himself had a messenger of Satan to buffet me. That's what he said. Even Paul had problems with the devil. He couldn't overpower him. Amen? There ain't none of us. Even the angels, even the archangels. How do you think you're going to tell him what he's going to do? Amen. That's the way some of these nuts think. They can just boss Satan around like they think they can boss the Lord around. Amen. No, you're a nothing. Well, I have great faith. Hey, faith does not control Satan. And faith does not control God. Faith is to control us. Amen? That's what God uses to control us. We're supposed to do what He wants by faith. Amen. Hey, you know what the charismatic says? No, God's going to do what I want because I've got faith. That's a bunch of baloney. You can't find it in your Bible. Amen. Take one few scriptures and twist them around? Amen. You're not going to stop Satan. Remember those ones? They was going to stop those devils. I think there's about seven of them. And they cried out in the name of Jesus. And the devil said, well, Jesus I know. And Paul I know. Who are you? Who are you? What did those devils do? They whipped the snot out of them. Amen. Amen. I'm going to let the Lord do my fighting. He's going to have to handle it. I ain't no match for Him. Amen. Hey, I have to take advantage of the Lamb. Come, Lord! Come, Lord! Come, Lord! Quick, Lord! Amen. Then, number three, judgment will overtake you. Today, we have a lot of people that say, now, preacher, you're judging me. I got news for you. The Bible's already judged homosexuality. Let's call it by the Bible name, sodomite. He's already judged that. It's an abomination to God. Adultery, He's already judged it. Amen. You get on the preacher for preaching about, well, God's already judged it. It's already written down in the book. It's not going to change. Amen. Fornication is a sin. Amen. There's no different lifestyles. Amen. Hey, it's not alcoholism. It's drunkard. Amen. It's sin. We want to change the name of it and say, don't judge me anymore. I can't help it. Amen. You can help it if you take advantage of the Lamb. You can help it. You can help it. Amen. Testimony of my dad. Alcoholic for years and years and years. He told me once about going to an AA meeting. He said, I'm not going to hold hands around the candle and say a bunch of stuff. My dad's a man's man. I mean, he's a lot like you, Brother Charlie. I mean, you don't mess with him, amen. Amen. Me and my pastor was going to go help a guy once. We was trying to witness to him. He was going to AA meeting. He wanted us to go with him. So we went. We sat down in there and they started telling, you know, I'm an alcoholic. And it went on like that for, seemed like hours. Me and my pastor, we were leaving, getting in the car, and I looked at him. I said, well, what'd you think? He said, well, I don't know about you, but I feel like going to get drunk. We cannot handle it. We need a Lamb. We need a Lamb. God is going to judge. 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. We're all going to stand before the judgment. Amen. Hey, that's for saved. There's a great white throne judgment for the lost. But guess what? I believe we'll be there also. Amen. Amen. Hey, there's some judgment coming. Are you ready for it? That's why I take advantage of the Lamb. He just might come back tonight. I want to have my slate clean when I go. A little bit, I was sitting there, Lord, if there's anything I've done, bring it to my mind. I want to get it right now before I get up there. Amen! I heard a message once. Judgment in reverse. And he used this verse. The first shall be last, and the last shall be first. And he said, what if Adam is the last one to be judged? And he has to stand there and watch all of creation be judged because of his sin. Let's bring it down a little bit closer. What if Dad has to sit there and watch his sin? Hey, his children be judged. Amen. Because of his sin. What if Grandma and Granddad have to sit there and watch the grandkids be judged? There's nothing more dearer to my heart than my grandchildren. Amen. It's hard for me to even imagine. Amen. Amen. But I don't want to. Why? They're going to know that I'm a Christian. They're going to know that I believe this book. Amen. I'm going to tell them about him. I'm going to set them down on my knee. I'm going to read the Bible to them. Amen. They're going to know that I'm a preacher. Amen.
Amen.
Then it says in your Bible, it says, those that he judges, and he says, I never knew you. He says, cast them in. Now, he said, this is his message. You can take what you want. He says, it doesn't tell you in the Bible who casts them. Who's doing the casting? Doesn't tell you who's doing the casting. But he said, I believe we'll be there as witnesses at that great white throne judgment. He says, what if? He says, Charlie, this one's yours. You could have witnessed to him. You could have told him. You contributed to his condition. You cast him in. What if it's a son? What if it's a daughter? What if it's an uncle? What if it's an aunt? What if it's a grandchild? I tell you what, this judgment thing's serious, people. We can't handle it. We need a lamb. We need to get things right and we need to live right because we're going to be judged with what we've done with our salvation. Amen. And whether you want to believe it or not, your sins hurts everybody else. Your sin, especially you older teenagers, all the young kids are looking up to you. It's time you stood up and become an adult. You're not a kid anymore. It's time you took the leadership. Hey, the younger ones are looking up at you. Amen. It's now's the time. Now's the time. And all I can say about you old gray-haired ones that don't serve God, you're pitiful. You ought to be the first one to shout. You ought to be the first ones to give. You ought to be the first ones at the altar. Why? It's the elderly. It's the older. The elders lead the church. But I tell you what we got now. You said, well, you're going to preach. I'm going to preach to you old codgers too. Amen. The Bible tells me that us elders are supposed to set an example. I'm 51 now. I guess I'm over the hill so I can be an elder. Amen. But what we think when we get old enough to retire, we become retarded too. We ought to be leading. We ought to have tender hearts instead of being grouchy old coots. Amen. We ought to have tender hearts.
Amen.
The kids are looking up to see if Jesus Christ is real. You'll be judged. You'll be judged for every service you sat there and done nothing. Every time that some kid was looking at you to see what you would do, you'll be judged. You're not going to get away with it. Well, I'm too tired. I'm too old. Listen. I've seen people come in wheelchairs and they had bags hanging on them and they came to church to the day they died. Don't give me your excuses. Amen. Well, you know, I'm tired. I'm getting old. I can't hear. Well, guess what? All of us are like that. There's something wrong with everybody. Once you get a little older, there's always something wrong. And it gets worse the older you get. Quit your whining. Amen. Just get up and do it. Amen. Look at Brother Charlie. Look at him. He's falling apart. But he's always on the go. Amen. Sometimes I think he's picking up pieces as he goes, putting them back on. You ever go behind him while he's walking? Creak, creak, creak. Amen. He's still going, isn't he? You know why he does that? Because he knows he needs to be an example to the rest of the flock. Amen. Instead of sitting there watching him do it all and being an observer, you ought to get in and do something. Amen. We don't need spectators. We need doers. Amen. Well, judgment's going to overtake you. And I'm going to be the guy that preaches on hell. Right off the bat. I'm going to try and fry you tonight. You need the Lamb of God because hell will swallow you.
Amen.
Psalms 55:15, let death seize upon them and let them go down quick into hell. Every time you look in the Bible, I studied it out over and over and over again in the Bible. Hell's down. Hell's down. Hell's down. Hell's down. We live on a sphere, on a globe. Amen. Any place on the earth, down points to the center of the earth. Amen. Hell is in the center of the earth. Amen. It's down there, hey man, it's enlarging herself. That's why you got these volcanic eruptions and stuff. Hey, the earth's having to vomit up a rock, hey man, to make room for all the people that's going to hell because the church is not doing its job, amen. Hell's wanting you. Over in Numbers chapter 16, it talks about those that went up against Moses and the ground clave asunder that was under them. It broke open and they fell directly into hell. I got news to you. It don't take no power to go to hell. Why, you can look at that space shuttle. It takes millions of pounds of thrust to push that. It's really a very small payload out of this atmosphere and just barely get it into space. But I'm going to leave here in the blink of an eye. Amen. Love's going to lift me. Amen. This old fat boy, I don't have to worry about it. God's strong enough. Amen. He's coming. I'm leaving. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm attached by the cords of love. Amen. I gave up my cords of sin. I grabbed a hold of the scarlet thread of the blood. Amen. And when He leaves, I'm leaving with Him. Amen. What are you hanging on to? Sin. Amen. There was a story about some guys up in West Virginia coon hunting. And they got across the line on the Ohio side. And they'd caught this coon in a trap. Game warden come along, out of season. He looked at him and said, "Boys, you're out of season." He got to looking at the coon and he said, "Now, boys, I got your addresses, got all your... We will come and arrest you, but I can't write you a ticket because this is not an Ohio coon. This is a West Virginia coon. You're going to have to take it over to the West Virginia game warden and let him check it in. And he'll write you the ticket." So next day, those three boys, they took it over, those three good old boys, they took it over and gave it to the West Virginia game warden. He said, "What's this for?" He showed them all that Ohio game warden had said, and he said, "This is a West Virginia coon." And he said, "Well, why did he say it was a West Virginia coon?" "Well, he said it was a West Virginia coon because it had already chewed off three of its feet and it was still in the trap." Listen, that's the way some of you are, amen. You've chewed off everything but sin, amen. You've chewed off your family, you've chewed off your job, amen. You've chewed off your health, amen. You've chewed everything off, but what's got you trapped? You won't get rid of sin, you won't cut it off, you won't take advantage of the lamb, amen. You're dumber than a West Virginia coon, amen. Why, hell is going to swallow you. Bible says hell's a lake of fire. It's a bottomless pit. It's a horrible tempest. It's everlasting burnings. It's a place of torments. It's a furnace of fire. It's a place of everlasting punishment. Never going to end up. It's a place where people pray, but they never get an answer. It's a place where they cry for mercy, but there's no mercy. It's a place where they wail. It's a place where they curse God. It's a place where they never repent. It's a place of filthiness. Now, as an evangelist, we stay in a lot of different places. In some places we stay, my wife is a clean freak, okay? She won't let me pick out the motels anymore. I'm looking for cheap. Cheap! We bought one and she went, said, "I'm not sleeping here." She went and bought sheets. So we went down to the dollar store and she bought all the cleaning supplies. She cleaned the whole place, put new sheets on the bed. Amen. I'd have been better off to buy the good room. I'd have saved money. Amen. But hell is a filthy place. You know, you go to bed at night and you get down in between those sheets and you pull them up around your little chinny chin chin. And I got a couple of them. Amen. Sometimes I leave one hanging out, one's underneath. Brother Jack's got two too. Amen. There's another one right there, Brother Justin's. Amen. Even Brother Charlie, when he smiles big, his legs down there. But you ever get in bed and you feel something crawling on you? You want to see a fat boy move. Man, I rip that sheet up and I get up. I got to find out what's in there. Turn the light on. But in hell, there's no lights. And they say there's worms down there. But that worm dies not. Maggots, maybe. I heard one preacher say it was maggots. That red worm, a maggot. Can you imagine that stuff crawling on you? Utter darkness. No lights. It's crawling all over you. Forever. On me. On me. I can't get them off. They're on me. They're all over me. I can't. What are they? I can't. I feel it. What is it? Forever and ever and ever. That's hell. That's where you're headed if you haven't took advantage of the Lamb. That's where your friends are going that you're afraid to witness to. Amen. They say it's a place of blackness and darkness. There's black flames in hell. Well, how can a fire? I know you've all heard this before, but they say the most hottest fire of all has a black flame. The heavens declare the glory of God. In the heavens, there's a thing called a black hole. Scientists are mystified by it. In fact, they just shot up a new telescope that they're going to look at a black hole with. Spent up probably millions, if not billions of dollars to get that thing up. They believe that that's a sun that's so hot it's imploded in upon itself, that the gravity is so strong that even light cannot escape. That's a type of hell. So hot. And there's going to be a resurrection. He's going to judge you. He's going to give you a body that's going to withstand the lake of fire forever and ever and ever. They say that the worst two ways to die is by drowning and by fire. Well, God's combined both of them in everlasting punishment. Not only will it be burning on the outside of your body, and you'll be screaming and screaming and screaming and screaming, but every time you open your mouth, those flames rush down inside of your body. And you're breathing in and out those black flames. In hell, you'll be lonely. You'll never feel another breeze upon your face. You'll never feel your mama's kiss upon your cheek again. Little things that we take for granted. Amen. You'll never feel in hell. All you'll feel is pain. Pain, pain, pain. Amen. Everything that you touch upon your body will just be pain. Amen. There'll be no comfort. Amen. Oh, you remember how mama, when you get that scrape upon your hand or your elbow, how she'd blow on it? You'll never feel anything like that in hell. Never again. You'll never see the rain falling. You'll never see another tree. You'll never see another star. You'll never see the sun again. You'll never see the brooks. You'll never see any human ever again. You'll be in darkness forever and ever and ever. You'll never hear preaching down there. You'll hear cursing. You'll hear screaming. You'll hear wailing. You'll hear the roar of the flame. You'll never hear a brook bubbling. You'll never hear birds singing. Amen. You'll never hear any of those things that we take for granted. Your mind, what will you think about? Maybe this service. Over and over and over again in your mind, you think, I had an opportunity to get saved. I could have got things right with God. Over and over and over. But then all your good memories that you had, they'll become like torture to you there. The time your mama hugged you. The time you walked down your aisle with your bride. When you saw your children born. All those happy memories that are happy for us up here becomes torture in hell. There's no pleasure in hell. There's no relief in hell. There's no mercy in hell. It's a merciless place. There's no mercy. There's no pulling back. There's no getting out. There's no end to it. Why would you want to go there? Why would you want to go there for just a little bit of sin? It's real. A place where the fire is not quenched. Never quenched. Brimstone. The smoke of torments forever and ever. When I went to St. Lucia on a mission trip for the Lindsay family down there, and then later on I went again for Brother Mike Gibson and preached a revival for him, they took us out to a volcano over there. And it's still bubbling up stuff. And you get around that and you smell that brimstone. And they say that gas and stuff that's coming up out of there is 273-80 degrees heat, Fahrenheit, coming up out of that. And that water is just a bubbling. I mean, it's just like a boiling pot of mud and water. They used to let people go down inside the crater and get real close to those places where they were bubbling. I guess quite a few years ago. Now they got it all quartered off. You got to stand up next to the rim and look down in it. But I guess they had a guide that was demonstrating how safe it was to be there. And he got up there and he started jumping up and down, saying, see, it's all right, it's safe. And he jumped up and that crust broke open underneath him. And he went down into about up here, this caught him. And he said that steam was shooting out around him and he was screaming at the top of his lungs. And he was actually being boiled. And before they could get him out, amen, he boiled for a while. He suffered for a while. You know the thing? He didn't die. But he's scarred for life. See, some of you got you a little crust that you're depending on. A little crust of religion. I don't have a crust. I've got a Savior. Amen. I'm on the rock. I'm not on the crust. Amen. You got that crust of baptism. Well, I was baptized. You better enjoy that water while you're here because you're not getting none in heaven and hell. You're not getting none in hell. You got that crust of, I'm a church member. I'm a Baptist. Just because you call yourself a Baptist doesn't mean you're going to heaven. And you're jumping up and down on it. You even shout about it. One of these days the crust might break through. I've tried to imagine what the worst thing in hell is. I tried to. Why? Is it the loneliness? Is it the worms? Is it the constant pain and the fire and the burning? Is it the continual falling, bottomless pit? What is the worst thing in hell? Now, I'm not going there. But this what I thought might be the worst thing in hell. I love my grandchildren. And what if, somewhere out there in the blackness of that abyss, I heard them screaming. Grandpa! Ever and ever and ever. You want to go to hell, that's all right. But I guarantee you're taking somebody with you. And you'll hear them screaming, Daddy, well, I'm a tough man. I ain't getting saved. Go ahead, take your family to hell with you. Yeah, you're a tough guy. I never learned how to love my family until after I was saved. And I never learned how to love my wife until after I was saved. Real men get saved. So you need to take advantage of the Lamb because hell will swallow you up. Don't you tell me you don't know somebody that doesn't need Christ. There's plenty of them out there that need Christ. Let me finish real quickly. You need to take advantage of the Lamb because He's not always going to be a lamb. Amen. My Bible tells me over there that He's coming back as a lion. Amen. In Revelation 5:5, one of the elders said unto me, weep not, behold the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. Amen. And all of heaven beheld the Lion of the tribe of Judah.
Yes, amen.
You approach a lion a lot differently than you do a lamb.
Right.
You say, how do you approach a lion? With fear. There's a reason that they're called the king of the beast. I've watched some lion attacks. They're so quick. They're so powerful. One slice with their jaws. You're dead. Crush your neck. Man, you ain't nothing. But I want you to notice what John said in Revelation 5:6. John said, and I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes. All of heaven saw the lion of the tribe of Judah. But when John looked, the one that Jesus loved, when he looked, he didn't see a lion. He saw the lamb. Let me tell you, he's always going to be my lamb, amen. Even over there when he is the lion, amen. He's still going to be my lamb, amen. I'm going to look at him. He's going to be my lamb forever and ever and ever and ever and ever, amen. He might be the lion to all the world. He might be the lion to all of heaven. But he is my lamb. My lamb. My God. My Lord. My Redeemer, amen. Then he's going to become the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. How do you approach the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings? With worship. Holy, 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 worthy, worthy, worthy. We'll cast our crowns at his feet. We'll give him all the glory. My Lord, my Lamb. He's coming back. It says that battle of Armageddon, the blood will run horse bridle deep. I believe that to be literal. I took my surveying skills and I found out the dimensions of that valley, and I began to calculate how much blood it would take for it to run that deep. And I came up with this. It's going to take millions of bodies exploding in an instant. Ain't going to be no fight. The sword of the Word.
Amen.
With one word, all of them are going to explode in an instant.
Right.
You need the Lamb.